Bibles and turn back over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we read this passage for our morning Bible reading. We see here in this passage Jesus working. We've seen how Jesus is available to those who need him. We've heard the expression before that the greatest ability is availability and dependability. I think you probably heard that before. The greatest ability is availability and dependability. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? And Jesus Christ is always available. He's always dependable. He's always adequate, and he's always sufficient. Father, as we look into your word now once again, I pray, Lord, that we would learn some of these truths that are here for us. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for how you care about us, how you love us, and, Lord, how you want to meet our needs. We pray this debt of gratitude, Lord, that we should have towards you. May it grow and be at the very center of our core each and every day. In his name we pray it. Amen. Amen. So verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He's a religious person. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's over the synagogue. He's over the events of the synagogue, the operation of the synagogue. And he, too, had heard about Jesus. Jesus had gone about doing miracles, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. He falls down at Jesus' feet and besought him. He asked him that he would come into his house. Come into my house. Jesus, would you come into my house? Now, Jairus has got a need. He invites Jesus in. Jairus is he's a religious man at this point. He's a respecter of God. That's good. And he's got a need, and he knows about Jesus, and he knew about the coming Messiah, and he knew about the possibility that this was the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one who was in their very midst. And so he, with his great need, he falls down at Jesus' feet. He honors Jesus. He worships Jesus. He bows down. He shows his subservience to Jesus Christ. Now that's something not everyone can do. But he did that. And he asked him that he would come into his house. You know, we could look at verse 41 and we could almost say that's a picture of salvation, isn't it? A recognition of Jesus, a bowing down to Jesus, and an asking, Jesus, come into my house. Lord Jesus, come into my very dwelling place. And that's certainly a part of salvation, isn't it? The humbling and the need and the asking for the need and the approach to Jesus alone, because he's the only Savior. And here he is. He's got this religious background. He's a ruler of the synagogue. And he goes to Jesus. And verse 42 says, for he had one only daughter. He had one daughter. Now, boys are wonderful, but there's something about daughters. He had one daughter. And she was close to death. And you can imagine the heart of this father for his daughter, who's about, as it says here, she's about 12 years old. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So he goes to Jesus. He's got a need. And he goes to the one he believes that could possibly help him with his need. And Jesus is there, and Jesus is going to make himself available to meet the need of Jairus. to meet the heart need of Jairus, his one and only daughter is close to death. We can just imagine the heartache of the father. We can imagine the heartache of the mother. We can imagine the pain, can't we, of this dark time, this time of considering loss in this family's life. And we can relate. Most of us here today can relate in some way, if not personally, with those that we know personally who have suffered loss. And the pain and the heartache and the needs of the soul during times of great loss. I think I shared this a few weeks ago, and just doing some research on my side of my family, my father's side and my mother's side, but on my mother's side, as my great grandpa and his wife, their first child would be my grandpa, and he was born in the year 1900. And then their next four children all died in infancy. One being six, the other three being a year or two old. To think of the pain and the heartache for a mom and dad to have a son and then to have their next four, I believe three of them were girls and one was a boy, and they all died in infancy. And the last one, as I was going through my mother's belongings recently, I found in the old clippings that my mother had, I found the obituary of the last one who passed, the last of the four children who died in infancy. And Ann and I read that obituary, and I've never read a more tender obituary, because the people knew. Whoever wrote that, they knew the loss that this family had encountered and had dealt with. They lost four children. And then in 1915, my great-grandpa and great-grandma, they would have twins. And my grandpa would grow up with two little sisters, two twins, 15 years younger than him, on the farm. And so here he is, a 18, 19-year-old young man doing his chores on the farm, and one of those twins' daughter is still alive, and she is my first cousin once removed. She was the first cousin of my mother. And she tells a story about how her mother used to say, oh, the twins, how they would pester my grandpa, being 18 or 15 years older, and he'd have to do his chores, and those twins would be 3 and 4 years old, 5 years old, running around just bothering grandpa, their older brother, and so he'd lock him in the corn crib so he could get his work done. And sweet Lois, my first cousin once removed, I think is how you say it. She may be here for the day of the pig roast. I hope she is. Just a sweet lady. She's 83 now. My mom would have been about probably 4 or 5 years older than her. And so the loss, the heartache, and here he is, Jairus, and he's got only one daughter, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And then there, verse 43, as I said, we pick up this different story. Jairus has a great need. Jairus goes to Christ. His daughter's dying. He's got a need. And we need to go to Jesus with our needs. And here we know his need, but we all have needs. And there's all kinds of different needs that we have. And here we have the need of suffering. We have the need of heartache. And there's all kinds of needs, as I said. There's the needs of temptation. We need to go to Jesus with our temptations, don't we? And there's all kinds of different temptations that we can be battling with, and we need to take our needs to Jesus. Jesus, I'm struggling with this, and Jesus, I have a fear about this, and Jesus, I have this habit that I know is not honoring to you, and we need to go to Jesus with everything. Why? Because he's always available. And he's adequate, and he's sufficient, and he's always there. And whenever we try something else, it never works, does it? Yeah, so we need to go to Jesus with every need. And on the way, We read about verse 43, this woman. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. She had this bleeding problem. Had spent all her living upon physicians. All her living she spent going from doctor to doctor. I'm sure all of her funds were, you know, and that doesn't sound much different from some of the situations of the day and age in which we live in now. And people have health needs. And people aren't getting any help and they're not getting any relief. And here in the day of Jesus, here's a case right here where the Bible tells us clearly. And neither could be healed of any. None of the doctors could help her. And she just spent time after time and going from doctor to doctor. Now, this woman was, you know, there's different comments in the commentaries about this woman, her background. Some think, well, she probably was a Gentile. She probably wasn't Jewish. Because if she was Jewish with this bleeding problem, she was unclean. And she really wasn't supposed to be around anybody else being unclean. But in her great need, she could have been Jewish. And with this kind of a problem, if she was ever married, she most likely was divorced. Because in the Old Testament, I believe it's the book of Deuteronomy, the husband can divorce the woman who has an unclean problem like this. So she could have been Jewish if she was. She very well was a divorced woman. She was a needy woman. She could have been put away. But she was there with a great need regardless, wasn't she? And so we think of the plight of this woman with her need. And her need is also a health need. But as I just said a few moments ago, our needs in life take an entire gamut, don't they, of different ways of expressions. But she is here in this passage, and verse 44, she came to Jesus. She had gone to all the world's physicians. She needed the great physician. She had heard about the healings of Jesus, the workings of Jesus. She needed a great physician in her life. She needed Jesus, who is the great physician. And in her timidity, verse 44, she came behind him. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. It's the hem of his garment. And as a rabbi, he wore a garment, and it was specifically marked with tassels on the corners of the garment. As a teacher, blue tassels and blue, the color marking holiness. And the teacher was to be holy unto the Lord. And Jesus was known at this time. And so she comes behind him and touches the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or dried up. She was healed immediately. She just touched his garment. I was reading about a man named Simpson, and he was the inventor of chloroform, and it was used in surgeries. And on his deathbed, he was with a good friend, and his good friend said to him, "Oh, soon, Simpson, you will be in the bosom of Jesus." And he said, "I don't need that." He said, "I just need to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. That's all I need." And so here she comes and she touches him. She came with a great need. She came with a great need. And all of us know when we're in that kind of condition. We all know when we have great needs. But in all reality, as believers, we have needs every day of our lives, don't we? We have daily needs. We have ongoing needs. Oh, Lord, keep me from this. Oh, Lord, keep me from pride. Oh, Lord, help me with my temper. Oh, Lord, help me with these fears I'm dealing with. Oh, Lord, we have ongoing needs. And if we don't have great needs, we sometimes just tend to put them aside, don't we? We need the Lord for every breath of air that we take. Amen. We are dependent upon him for everything. And this whole passage is a challenge to me about that. To be dependent upon him for every single thing. And And so she had a great need. She came too. She comes behind him and she just simply touches the border or the hem of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was healed. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee. They're around you." Remember, the word had spread. He went back to the city of Capernaum, and here he had just healed the demonic person, and he had healed he had raised up the widow's son in Luke chapter 7. The throng is around you, Peter said. The multitude throng thee and press thee. The crowd presses you. They're with you. They're around you. They're jostling you. And Peter says to Jesus, "And sayest thou, who touched me?" All kinds of people were touching you. I think probably all of us, we've been in a crowd at one time or another. We know what it's like to be in a crowd like that, and you're walking and you're standing up, but you're kind of like a sardine in a can, aren't you? You're shoulder to shoulder, and you're just touching others, and this was the crowd. And Peter goes, "Master, you want to know who touched you? They're all touching. We're all touching one another. We're all in this crowd of movement." But there was something different. Somebody touched him with a need. Somebody was with Jesus, and that somebody went to Jesus. And when we go to Jesus, Jesus goes to us, comes to us. Jairus comes and says, he invites him, "Can you come to my house?" And Jesus went. Jesus is always available. He's available to everyone's need. Young person, maybe you got needs in school. You're having trouble in a certain class. Jesus is available to you. College student, it's always a press, isn't it? It's always a pressure. College isn't easy. And you've got work, and you've got projects, and you've got papers to write. You have a need. Go to Jesus. Ask him for help. I mean, how many testimonies have we heard through the years when the semester finally comes to an end and all these projects are turned in and all these tests are taken, and the college student says, "I have no idea how I just got through all of that." Jesus was there with you. If you cried out to Jesus for help, if you touched Jesus for help, he helped you, didn't he? And so we all have needs, a multitude of needs. And as I said, the needs are also temptations, and I have this temptation, and pornography. People dealing with pornography. I've got this. You have a need. You have a need to conquer that. You have a sexual desire in your life which is not honoring to God, and that is a need, and you need to take that to Jesus. I have this need. I get upset so easily. The Lord wants me to have patience, and the Lord wants me to be meek, and I fight. We need to take those to Jesus. Amen. Because he's available, and he's adequate, and he's sufficient, isn't he? Amen. And so Peter says, "Lord, you're asking who touched you?" Verse 46, and Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me." Somebody had touched me in a different way. Somebody came to me with a great need. Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power, virtue there means power, my power is gone out of me. Just let that soak in. When we go to Jesus with our need and we touch Jesus and we go to Jesus and we need help and we call upon Jesus, his power goes out of him to us. Amen. His power goes out of him. Jesus knew it. Somebody touched me and my virtue went out of me. My power went out of me. Somebody touched me. Now, did Jesus know who it was? Of course he knew who it was. Of course he did. But as he continues here, he wants the person to identify. He wants the person to say, "Thank you, Jesus." He wants the person to acknowledge the power of God through the power of the Son of God. He wants praise to be given unto the Father through the Son, through the working of the Son. Jesus did this. God is glorified. Our purpose is to glorify God, isn't it? And so somebody had touched me, for I perceived that virtue has gone out of me. How often do you touch Jesus? How often do you go to Jesus? How often do you go take that burden to Jesus and cry out to Jesus and ask Jesus for help with your difficulty, your pain, your trial, whatever it is? This is to be the pattern of our lives, isn't it? We just take it to Jesus. Take our problems to Jesus. We come to church. We come to meet with Jesus. We come to meet with God in and through His Word. Lord, I have a need to learn from You today. Lord, if it's only even one thing, then I want that one thing. I want at least one thing, Lord, that I've learned about You and from You in Your Word today. If we don't have that need, we're just simply part of the crowd. We're just here. We're in attendance. We're not receiving the power of Jesus. His power isn't going out to us like it did to this woman, because she touched Him with a great need. She touched Him. She was defiled. She was defiled. She had a need. What about the people? Maybe there's some here today. And you've got guilt in your life because sin in your past. And you just feel that you're defiled and Satan's attacking you. Jesus waits to offer you great forgiveness. Amen. And we talked about praying for the end of abortion, and we need to do that. We need to touch the heart of Jesus. We need to go to Jesus. God, change the hearts of people. Change the hearts of people. You know, this country had slavery in it for many, many years, and slavery came to an end one day, didn't it? And this is more horrendous. The leading cause of death around the world every year is by far abortion, all around the world. The murder of children. And people don't understand. They bought into the lie. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. They believe the lie. God says, thou shalt not kill. It's very clear, isn't it? Especially after a person becomes a believer. It's very clear to understand. But for the unsaved person, they don't know the things of the Spirit. They're blinded to truth. And so we need to touch the heart of Jesus. We need to go to Him with our prayers, with our needs. Oh God, change hearts. Oh God, forgive those who have had abortions. There's forgiveness with the Lord. And we always need to remember to add the message of forgiveness, because Jesus Christ forgives sinners. Amen. I can say this morning, thank You, Jesus, for forgiving me of my many sins, of my past. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus Christ forgives sinners, doesn't He? Amen. And there's forgiveness for the people who have had an abortion. There's forgiveness, and when there's an abortion, there's a pregnancy, and there's a male involved in that, and the male needs forgiveness of his sin, doesn't he? And so these needs of life are real. And so she felt defiled. I mean, she was defiled because of her blood issue. She was considered defiled. She was considered unclean. And today some people, they live with that stigma. I'm nothing. I'm no good. I'm of no rank in life. I'm of no rank in society. No. If you touch Jesus, you'll be made whole. If you touch Jesus, you'll be cleansed. She was destitute. As I said, the law said that her husband could put her away for that issue of blood. She was destitute. She was most likely alone. She was discouraged. She was discouraged. And maybe there's some of you here today, you're discouraged. Go to Jesus. He awaits. Go to Jesus. He's available. Go touch Jesus. Take it to Jesus. She was discouraged and she was desperate. She was desperate. Many times on the other side of desperation are God's greatest blessings for an individual. They are just simply on the other side of desperation if they go to Jesus. Because Jesus can forgive. Jesus can make a person whole. Verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people. She declared unto him before all the people. Jesus says, who touched me? And she finally makes herself known. And she comes and declares unto all, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him. This was the cause I had. This was the problem I had. This is what I've been living with. This has been my burden. I need help. I need healing. I need this problem solved in my life. See, there's nothing secret here, is there? Who's getting all the glory? Jesus and God. They're getting all the glory. And this is what Jesus wanted. Jesus knew who touched him. Jesus knew who his power went to. And Jesus knew that there was one with a great need who touched him. It wasn't just part of the crowd. As I said, we need, when we come to gather together to hear the word of God, we need to come with hearts and ears and a mind that expresses a need to God and the truth of his word. And God, help me. It's just not a place to come and be here, but come with an eagerness, to come with an expectation, to come with an honesty, to come with an openness. Oh God, meet my need. And so Jesus expected her to declare herself, and she did. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. She touched him and he touched her back. He touched her back and he healed her immediately. He healed her immediately. What a beautiful response there that we see in that verse. And really, that's what the Bible teaches us, that we are to have a likewise response. The woman in your confession, confess everything that Jesus did. We read in Luke 12:8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. That's an expectation. That's the thank you Jesus part that we have the privilege to enter into, because we have something to thank Jesus about, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. We read in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. It's pretty clear, isn't it? That's an expectation. It's the expectation of the healed one. The healed one is to be able to say thank you. The healed one is to express to others what Jesus has done, and this brings honor to the Father. We read in Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. We read in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so Jesus says, who touched me? And she responds. She responds with trembling. It's a serious thing. It's an emotional thing. But she responds, doesn't she? Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. It's the only time in the Bible I understand it. Jesus calls anyone a daughter. She's now a daughter. She's now a child of the faith. She's a child of God. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then he says, go in peace. You've been made whole. Not only physically, but she has now been made whole spiritually. Jesus calls her his daughter. Amen. She's a child of God. Your faith hath made you whole. Your trusting hath made you whole. Your believing hath made thee whole. And he says, go in peace. And she has received this blessing of healing for spirit and body. And then he says, go in peace. She can go in peace now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The great blessing of peace. She now has peace for her soul as well. Verse 49, while he yet spake, now we go back to Jairus' daughter, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master, she's died. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, look what he says here. Three things. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only. And the result will be she shall be made whole. She too shall be made whole. She too shall have a complete healing. But the first thing is fear not and believe. Fear not and believe. Have faith, like verse 48. Thy faith, he says to the woman with the blood issue, hath made thee whole. Here he says, fear not, believe only. Believe, believe. So what does a person have to do who wants a touch of God? They need to have faith. They need to believe. They need to believe in what Jesus has done for them. He died for their sins. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered or allowed no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but she sleepeth. She's not dead, but she sleepeth. Jesus is going to bring her back to life. She's been declared dead. But Jesus has the power over death. Jesus has the power over life, doesn't he? And that word sleepeth there is the word for cemetery. And when believers pass, they go into the cemetery where their bodies will sleep until the resurrection one day. Amen. She sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Verse 53 would be the mourners, the professional mourners, who would have been there outside the house, and they received the word that she's dead, but Jesus is going, says she's not dead. And so this would be the mourners who would laugh, and mourners would be hired for times of death. They'd be brought in. And so here we have that. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. She was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. Young lady, arise. Christian, arise. Church, arise. Maid, arise. When we have life in Christ, we can arise. There's no need for us to be continually low. There's no need for us to be low. No, we have life in Christ. We've been made alive in Christ. And he says, maid, arise. Young girl, arise. And her spirit came again. Her spirit came again. That means she was dead. Jesus has this power. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway or immediately, and he commanded to give her meat, somebody get her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And this was just something that Jesus simply ordered at the time. There certainly was enough commotion going on. There was a commotion after the demonic man had been healed. There was a commotion all during this time. But the parents were astonished. Certainly it was a miracle that Jesus had worked. Amen. So just in closing here today, these truths of this passage. Jesus is available. When there's a need, Jesus will be there. Jesus went. Jesus goes. Jesus is available. But it's upon us to go to Jesus. It's upon us to go to Jesus. We don't run to our credit card company. We don't run here. We don't run there. We go to Jesus, don't we? We go to his word. We go to what God's word teaches. And we are to fear not. We're to simply go to Jesus. We are to, as we saw the words, thy faith hath made thee whole. We're to trust. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So Jesus is always available. Jesus is more than sufficient. Jesus is adequate. And this is what we can learn from this passage. We touch him, and he touches us. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will what? Draw nigh to you. Father, we thank you for our time together here today. And Lord, I pray that this would be our practice. Drawing nigh to Jesus. Touching Jesus. Wanting Jesus to make us whole. To heal us. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to touch Jesus for salvation. There's the sense of sin. There's the sense of guilt. There's the sense of being outside the family of God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to be the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, even to them that believe on his name, to be the sons of God, to be the children of God. Jesus calls her daughter. She's a child of God. Some maybe need that touch of Jesus in salvation. To admit that I'm a sinner, I can't save myself. The religious person, Jairus, the head of the synagogue, went to Jesus. He didn't go to the rabbis. He didn't go to the priests. He went to Jesus. He had a need. The greatest need of the world today is Jesus Christ. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. People need forgiveness. They need cleansing. They need cleansing from the defilement of sin. We were all born with a sin problem. And like leaven, it spreads in our lives. We need that cleansing. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be your personal Savior, you can do that this morning right where you're sitting. And I would pray that you would. That's between you and the Lord. You give your life to Jesus. You say, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to have peace. That peace, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have peace. I remember things of my past. I remember my sins. They haunt me in my spirit. You can have your sins forgiven. And then for believers, going to Jesus with all of our needs. And they vary from individual. Many of them are common, but others are the unique needs that we have. Family problems and family pressures and job pressures. And we just can't even begin to name all the possibilities of the needs. But are we taking our needs to Jesus? Are we touching him? Are we sincerely going him? Are we desirous? Are we desperate? And then if we are, we too will receive his power. Take it to Jesus. So Father, May you have your way in each of our lives. You know what's best for us. You want us to glorify you. You want us to thank you. We pray all of this in his precious name. Amen.